All right. Little Ed Sheeran to get us off. He's certainly, I don't know that he would fall in the worship category, but still pretty nice little song, right? How would you feel if I told you I loved you? Probably pretty weird, unless you were that girl. So, yeah. Awesome. Well, welcome to Reengage. We're glad you guys are here. Hopefully you didn't get too stuck in the traffic chaos that was out there. If you did, I'm really sorry. I did too. How would you feel? No. But honestly, we are really glad you guys are here and just want to take some time to get our minds right. You know, getting here is no small task. We know that. And so we thank you for just making the effort and diving in and working hard at your marriage. And the best way to do that is to work hard at your relationship with Jesus. I mean, he is there with open arms. He certainly wants you. He knows who you are, he knows you where you are, and he's going to meet you right there and bring you along. So we are just so thankful you're here. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to stand up, sing a couple of songs, and continue to worship and get our mind right. So let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Father God, thank you again for your love. Thank you for your grace and for just who you are. God, as you tell us in Romans 7, we're just wretched, God. We are every being of us, every part of our being wants to sin, and yet you are still there and you still rescue us from that. And I just thank the Lord God through Jesus Christ in that. God, we pray for our time tonight, just that you would be here, that you would stir our hearts for you and also for our spouses. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up a little bit and we're going to sing some. Father God, thank you so much just for the fact that we can come to the altar. God, that you, as we prayed earlier, that you just love us where we are, but you love us enough to not want us to just stay there. God, we have such an incredible peace and joy in knowing you. And I just pray that as we go through this evening, God, that we just surrender to you. And through that, we will improve all of our relationships. God, it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to Reengage. We are so glad that you've given us your Wednesday night. Chris started off tonight by telling us to do two things, and he just said, man, be committed, dive in, and be ready. And so we do hope that's where your heart is tonight. We are in for such a treat. I have the privilege of working next door to the guy that you're about to hear from this evening. And I really do. I hope right now that you'll pull out your smartphones. If you're old like me, pull out your spiral and an ink pen. But we want to really challenge you to be all in tonight, lean in to what Scott's bringing us, and then let's take notes and let's be ready to put into practice what he's going to put the challenge before us to do. So guys, put your hands together for Scott Kadersha.
Thanks. All right, let me get my stuff settled here. Anyone have braces as an adult? How awesome is that? I've got them right now, and so this is one of the first times I'm speaking publicly with braces, and so I will probably need frequent water breaks if you don't mind. Go ahead and take some good notes. I think hope you'll be encouraged tonight. My family married to Kristen for 17 years this fall, and four boys along the way. Of course, we never do this. It's like such a take a picture and so do something you normally do. That's something we've never done, but we look all happy in that picture, and I think I'm pinching Kristen's butt. That might be why she's laughing in that picture. She's not able to be here tonight, but I want to start off just by being a little bit vulnerable with you about not a marriage issue. It's related to marriage, but my biggest struggle my entire life has been my weight and overeating. And, you know, I was struggled as a young kid to eat, and they realized that my tonsils were not doing well, and so they took my tonsils out when I was, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, and that was that fixed the problem. I have not stopped eating since, and so tonsils out at a young age, and it's been something I've consistently battled. There've been some seasons of up and down, but for the most part, it's been, you know, my as Paul would say, my thorn in the flesh. I've struggled a whole lot with overeating, with being lazy, slothfulness, whatever you want to call it. In fact, I was just thinking tonight, these jeans are a really, really good illustration of that. I needed some new jeans, and so my sweet wife went to the store and got me some and brought them home, put them on the bed. I tried them on, and I looked at the description, and on the back it says these are jeans for ample people, A-M-P-L-E, and they're stretched to fit. And so my wife got me jeans for pregnant men. And so I'm wearing jeans that fit somebody my body type. And so I've always struggled with this. Now, there have been times when I have tried to do well, and I'm in a season of doing well and trying to honor God with my body. And so starting in March of this year, March 7th, I did the Whole 30. It's probably the third or fourth time I've done it. Anyone done the Whole 30 before? Bless you. Okay, so I did that really well. And then starting on April 16th, I started a workout group here at Watermark. We meet Monday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. And we do a whole lot of burpees, which are, you know, I think it's Satan speak for exercise. It is the hardest exercise in the world. We do a lot of burpees, running, air squats, sit-ups, all this stuff. And so for 8 weeks now, I have been busting my tail out there. 3 mornings a week, I'm out there, I go to bed early, I pack my stuff the night before, I make my lunch the night before, I'm up early, I'm exhausted this time of night. This is when I want to go to bed because the workouts are so, so hard. And so for, you know, really for 3 months, I've been eating well and I've been exercising incredibly hard. And so, you know, I do what most people would do. I go and get on the scale and just say, okay, let's see what kind of progress I've made in 3 months of busting my tail and denying myself. And I get on the scale, and 3 months, I have dropped 5 whole pounds. And that sucks. Don't clap. Okay, I will, as an example, I work with a guy. He's like, yeah, I've been eating salads for 2 days and just dropped 7. And I hate you, okay? And so 5 is better than nothing. It's better than gaining 5, but it is incredibly exasperating, right? And what I forget is that for 44 years now, I've been feeding myself Twinkies and donuts and jelly beans and sitting on the couch, and I expect, well, for 3 months, if I've taken care of myself, then surely God is going to reward me by taking off 20 or 30 pounds instead of 5 whole pounds. And I just get really, really frustrated. And you know, what I really want, I think I should look like this by now. And a guy doesn't have nearly enough body hair to be me, so clearly I will never, ever look like that. But that's what I want in a short amount of time. Let's just, please take that off the screen now. That's enough. Thank you. So we're not here tonight to talk about my weight or to talk about Photoshop pictures of me. We're here to talk about a problem that I have that many of us have. We live in a world that doesn't value a process, but rather wants immediate results. Okay, we think we show up, we do something for a week, a month, 3 months, and everything's going to change. And a few weeks ago, or last week, I was on Twitter. I love Twitter. And I saw this tweet by this guy named Adam Grant. Adam's an organizational psychologist, professor at Wharton Business School. He's a writer. And he wrote this. He said, to understand success, pay less attention to the final product and more to the mundane process. It's way more fun to read Harry Potter, to see Hamilton, than it would be to watch J.K. Rowling write Harry Potter or Lin-Manuel Miranda write Hamilton, but the seeds of greatness are planted in the daily grind. And then there was a little picture with it that, you know, it shows what we see on the surface is people getting the applause. That's Hamilton, it's Harry Potter, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's the Golden State Warriors. It's the winners on top, but we don't see all the work underneath. And so often we celebrate the final product, but we have no idea what it took to get there. We celebrate what we see without an appreciation for what we don't see. And so as I looked at that tweet and that picture, I thought of two things. One, my wellness battle that, you know, like I said, for 44 years, I've not been taking care of myself. And I think after 3 months, there's going to be immediate results. It's going to take a whole lot longer to overcome 44 years of damage. And then the second thing I thought of was marriage. And I thought of you guys, and I thought about Reengage. And I thought so many times, I've been around you for 16 years and 12 years on staff, marriage ministry the whole time. And what I've seen consistently in ministries like Regeneration or Recovery Ministry or Reengage is people show up for a couple weeks and they think, well, I've been here, I've done my homework for a few weeks. Why aren't I seeing the results? Why is my marriage not like the other couples around me? Why are we still struggling? And we, again, forget that 20 years of bad patterns and behaviors, we think we can fix them so quickly. And so tonight, I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the important things that we need to be doing to build the right foundation so that we can get the results down the road, because it's not going to happen quickly. I was thinking about, you know, we're in the middle of the NBA finals right now, and the Cleveland Cavaliers and Warriors are playing game three tonight. I said, those teams did not get there. Now, LeBron is a freak of nature. The guy has an amazing, you know, God has given him a body type that's amazing, but the guy works so hard. He's in the gym. He's doing suicide sprints. He's doing free throws. He is working his tail off. We don't see that. We just see the final product. We watch American Ninja Warrior on TV, and we see them doing these amazing things, and we don't realize how many times they fall. We read a great book or see a great movie, and we don't realize how much work is involved. I just finished writing my first book, which I'm really, really excited about. But you're going to see it'll be on the bookshelves at some point in February, and everyone's going to say, oh, that's amazing. You wrote a book, but nobody knows. Nobody has any idea how many weekends I've given up and how many early mornings and how many late nights. We see the final product. We have no idea about the amount of work that goes into making something great. And then the last one I thought of very quickly was parenting. Okay, these little devil children come out of our wives, and you give birth to them, and we expect if we just do a few good things that something great is going to come out on the other side. It takes daily work, hourly work, to raise great kids. It doesn't happen quickly or easily. And we see these great kids and we wonder, how did they get there? It's been the grind every single day. And so we're going to talk about the things that we don't see that make something great. In an instant society, we want quick results without much effort. Instagram, when we want to buy something, we swipe the card. When we want to lose weight, we get liposuction. When we want to get better in marriage, we come to Reengage for a few weeks. And if it doesn't work, we say Reengage doesn't work. This is a long-term process that we have got to be a part of. And so a couple things go into making a marriage great at the risk of oversimplifying. The first is just building your marriage on the right foundation. And so one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is, if you're allowed to have one, I have one. It's Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, teaches on marriage, divorce, anger, the tongue, conflict, all this big stuff. And he gets to the end and he says, you have two choices. You either do what I tell you and build your life and your home on the solid rock foundation of Christ, or you choose to ignore what I've told you, build your house on sand. For both the one on the rock and the one on the sand, the storms come, the floods come, the winds blow against that house. One of them stands, the other one falls. And so if we're going to have a marriage that's going to honor God, that's going to be great, it's got to be built on the right foundation. Those of you that go to Watermark, you know that we take our newlyweds and we put them in a small group called foundation groups, where we're doing everything we can from day one of marriage to help them build their marriage on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be saying, that's great for cute little happy newlyweds. If I did that when I got married, maybe we wouldn't be here and reengage. Here's the good news. It does not matter where you are, you can still build your home on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ. It is not too late. Okay, that's why you're here. That's why you're giving up your Wednesday nights. You are working hard to either solidify that foundation or to rebuild your foundation on the solid rock foundation of Christ. And so we are thrilled that you're here to build your home on the foundation of Christ. The second thing, once you build your home, it's to keep fortifying it and repairing it. And so what I want, you know, if you are a homeowner, you know that buying a home is not as simple as buying a house and then never doing anything. Every single day, there's stuff that we need to do. We need to mow the grass. We need to plunge the toilets. We need to take out the trash. We need to pay the bills. There's work that needs to be done consistently. We keep having to fortify and rebuild. It's not just building it and leaving it. It's daily tasks that allow our home to continue to stand. And so what I want to do in our time is I want to spend a few minutes talking about, get ready for this, 23 different ways to fortify that foundation. I know it's a ton, and what I would want, would encourage you to do is just to write down the ones that resonate with you. I might try to capture these in a blog post or something that we can get to you. I'm going to fly through them, but these are small ways every single day that every one of us can grow our marriage. Okay, that we tend to think marriage is the big events, and there is a big event when you get married. There's big events when you have kids, but marriages are not built and taken down on the big events. They're the daily decisions that you make every single day. that every one of us have to do as a couple. These are the things that build great marriages, and there's nothing exciting or dramatic about them. They're just the small things we do as a married couple to build something great. And so I'm going to go through these and, again, be encouraged by some of them and figure out which ones you need to especially take note of. One, the first one on the list, and Chris said this when we started tonight, the best way to grow your marriage is to work on your relationship with Jesus. And so how are you doing with Christ? Are you spending time in the Word? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you do, are you abiding? Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, if you're not abiding with Christ, then nothing good will come out of you. And so how are you doing at being intimate with Jesus? That is the absolute best way to grow your marriage, is for you to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know what that looks like, your leader would love to help you. Second is just to share what you're learning in the Word. Share it with your spouse. And I'll tell you again, 12 years of doing marriage ministry every day, I would tell you this is one that most couples, if not all, struggle with mightily. We don't know what it looks like to sit down with our spouse and just say, what is God teaching you? What are you learning in the Bible? I can't think of a better way to spend time with your spouse than to share what God is teaching you, but so many of us don't do that. We don't know how, or we make it a contest somehow, that we think the one who shares the more profound truth is the better spouse. And that's just stupid. That's ridiculous. Okay, instead, we just need to be people. Your marriage should be the safest relationship around. And so share what God is teaching you in the Word. Third, this one's a lot more fun. What are you doing to have fun together as a couple? What's your hobby? What do you like to do for fun? My friend Blake always asks me, Scott, what do you do for fun? I'm like, well, I like to read and write. And he's like, no, what do you do for fun with your wife? And it's a struggle for us, okay? It's what are you doing for fun? What's fun for you as a couple? Is it biking? Is it hiking? Is it traveling? Is it cooking? If it's cooking, I'd love to be your test case if you want to try stuff out. And so what do you do that's fun for you as a couple? Answer that question. What are you doing to have fun as a couple? Fourth is to do your re-engage homework. You will get out of this what you put into it. You do not go through this and just half-heartedly answer the questions in the book. Okay, you're going to get out. You're going to get to the other side, and some of you are going to say re-engaged in work. And we're going to look at your book, and there's going to be nothing in there. Spend the time. Ask God to help you. What do you need to learn? And we give you a great tool for that, that the homework and the questions are an amazing way for you to grow in your relationship with Christ and with your spouse. Number five, this might be the most important one on here. I'll take a drink, get my braces off my teeth. Hang on. All right, it's to be humble. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. I think if God tells two different people to write the same thing in two different books in the Bible, I pay attention to that. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so do not be a proud human being. Be somebody who is humble. And so why are you here? What are you trying to learn? What are some ways that you can grow? What is it for you, not your spouse? Own your part and be someone who is humble. Along those lines is number six, have a willingness to surrender to Christ. We talked about this as a team yesterday, that we think the couples who do best in reengage are the ones who just surrender their marriage to the Lord. Say, God, what do you want to teach me while I'm here? I'm not going to worry about what my spouse is going to learn. What do you want me to learn during my time and re-engage? And just surrendering yourself to the Lord, to his people, his spirit, his word, and to the process. This little workout group I told you about in the beginning, this is the fourth time I have done it. And so it's a 12-week group, and maybe one other person has done it twice, but I'm on my fourth round through this thing. And every time I go through, God teaches me something completely different. And partly this time when I started, I said, God, what do you want me to teach in round four? What have I not learned in round one, two, and three? And so a few weeks ago, we're doing this thing called a wall ball. Does anyone know it? It's a 16-pound ball is what I have, or a 20-pound ball. It's about this big. It like the burpee is straight from Satan. And so you have to take the ball and you squat down and you have to throw it up against the wall and you have to squat down and you have to do, we had to do it 10 times a minute for 12 minutes one day. The next day we had to come back and do 100 of them consecutive and see how quickly we could do that. And so I'm sitting there, and there's 30 of us in the group, 28 other people in there, and I'm watching, and everyone else is done, and I'm on like number 50, and there's a few other people that are doing them, and they finish up, and one time I get the ball, and I just throw it down on the ground, and I drop a ginormous F-bomb. I won't just use your imagination. You know what the word is? Throw it down on the ground and just scream this word out. I didn't scream it. I said it loud enough for almost everyone in this room to hear it. And so it was very loud. Okay, and you know, and then I get down on the ground, and a few minutes later, I'm just going, Scott, you are an effing idiot. Scott, you suck. And I'm just saying this stuff out loud to myself. And my coach comes up to me afterwards, and he says, "What are you doing? Okay, why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, I just get frustrated and I get angry." And he says, "That's not the reason you're doing that." He says, "You got to figure out why you get so angry when you work out that you cuss. That's not like you. You don't do that on a normal day. I've never heard you use those words." And so he said, "Your job, my job as a coach, is to help you figure out why you are using those words." And so again, I go, "Lord, I surrender. Why am I doing this?" And I figured it out. It's because I'm prideful. Right, I'm watching everyone else around me finish this exercise, and I'm still going. I'm on 75, 80, and they're done. They've been done for minutes. I am prideful. And so I am consistently asking God, "What do you want me to learn in the process?" I would challenge you to do the same. What does God want you to learn while you're in reengage? Surrender to his will for you. Number 7, become really good at forgiveness. Forgive in the same way that God has forgiven us through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:32. Marriage provides more opportunities to ask for forgiveness and grant forgiveness than any other relationship out there. Number 8 is to serve your spouse. You knew this one is coming. Mark 10:44 and 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came here to serve. Okay, we're to do the same. And so how can you serve your spouse? Okay, here's a very simple question I would ask you to ask one another. Okay, think through, I'm gonna give you 10 seconds right now. What is the job that you hate to do more than anything else in your house? Okay, three people shouted out. Give me an answer. Okay, I heard laundry, dishes, and cooking. Okay, great. Now here, you got yours. Here's what I want you to do at some point. I want you to ask your spouse, what is the job that you hate to do? And then I want to challenge you for a week, for a month, that you do that job. Okay? I just went from preaching to meddling, I know. And I frankly, if you both hate the job, I don't care. Okay? This is an opportunity for you to serve your spouse. It will grow your marriage. It's an opportunity to serve one another, to put their needs before yourself. Number 9 is to pray together throughout the day, in the morning, at night, whenever. Number 10, go for walks around your neighborhood. Catch up, talk about your day, pray for one another. Number 11, get rid of the TV in your bedroom so you can spend your time doing more fun stuff in the bedroom, reading, praying, of course, and having sex. And then die to yourself every day. Number 12, each day you wake up and commit to putting the needs of your spouse before your own. Husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. You don't have to go hang on a cross for her, but you are called to put her needs before your own. Number 13, read a marriage book together. Read Cherished by Gary Thomas. It's fantastic. Number 14, be present and involved in the lives of your children. No passive parents allowed. These are the small things you do every single day to grow your marriage. Number 15, change your mindset. Do not be a victim. Believe the best instead of assuming the worst. 16, communicate, talk every single day. Text throughout the day. Guys, I don't like talking to my wife or texting her, okay? Confession. Unfortunately, it's probably recorded. Most guys don't. I don't even know if women do. That is our part of our job is to speak our spouse. What is going to love our spouse well? And so you communicate with them about anything and everything. Along those lines, you are diligent, number 17, to resolve conflict. Do everything you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Number 18, do a weekly meeting like Kristen and I do. Every Sunday night, we sit down with our calendar for the week and we make sure we're on the same page. There's nothing incredibly exciting about it. It's we sit down with both of our computers and we make decisions. It's so exciting and so crazy, but it's how we build a great marriage. Okay, my friends, Tim and Emily, they've got, you can Google this if you want. Google today's letters, weekly questions. They ask 5 questions to each other every week. It's a way for them to continually build their marriage. Number 19, embrace your weakness. When you are weak, it causes you to depend on the Lord. If dependence is the goal, then weakness is the advantage. Embrace the weakness in your marriage. Be someone who is thankful in the good times and the bad times. Thankfulness draws us close to the Lord. Number 21 is community. Do not buck against God's plan. God has given us the gift of community. We are to bear one another's burdens. It's Galatians 6:2. You bear them for others, they bear them for you. It is the way that God has designed relationships to work and grow. 22 is to pursue each other romantically. Go on date nights, non-sexual touch, give massages without expectations of anything in return. Just pursue one another. And then number 23, because I said non-sexual, we also need the others. Pursue each other sexually. And guys, ladies, I would challenge you often. It's not always, but really, this really does go both ways, right? Is both of you initiate with the other sexually. If you are the one who doesn't usually initiate, then take the initiative to initiate sexually. Okay, that's an extensive list, 23 things. The embarrassing thing about sharing that is that I'm sure I've forgotten 50, 100, 200 others that could be on that list. Okay, but I came up with that list quickly. I just said, what are some ways that great couples I know grow their marriage? You could do this. There's nothing that's rocket science on that list. Those are the basics. That's marriage 101, how to grow your marriage. Your marriage will only be average at best if you are not doing the simple, mundane, day in, day out things. And so I'm going to challenge you to take some time to grow your marriage, to not just look at the end result, but just to do the small things that we all need to do to make our marriages great. You don't want it to be average. That is why you are here. And so this morning, the goal for me is just to be faithful. I don't step on the scale anymore. It's not helpful for me. And so I'm up at 4:50. I made my breakfast at home. I brought it with me. I go to bed early. I pack my bag the night before. I don't get on the scale anymore. And I'll tell you what, I won this morning because I was here. I was working out. I sweat a whole lot. It is ridiculously humid this time of year. And so it doesn't matter what it says on the scale. If God chooses to take me out, I'm going out as a faithful man. I've done what I need to do. And so I'm planting seeds of faithfulness every single day. And I know for many of you, nobody sees the work you do. Nobody sees the sacrifice you make. You know, you don't know how often. Your spouse has no idea how many times you sacrifice and you get up early and you stay up late and you do laundry and you sacrifice your desires. God sees it. Again, that is how you grow your marriage to be great. It's not the major dramatic decisions. It's the small things that you do every single day. And so we're going to challenge you, and we want to challenge you to keep showing up, do the hard work, and be humble. So God, thank you for the amazing examples of great marriages we get to see around us. And God, thank you for every man and woman in this room who wants to grow their marriage. I pray, God, that they would be diligent to do what you call us to do every single day. That we would be humble, that we would surrender to your will for us. God, I pray for those who just want to quit, that they would just keep going, God. Remind us of the way that you endured and you persevered. And I pray that we would follow you in the same way. God, help us to serve one another, to put the needs of our spouse before our own. And God, help us not to just focus on the end and to get so frustrated about the lack of results. But God, help us to be faithful, to be involved in the process. I pray that you would encourage the hearts of those who need to be encouraged tonight. And I pray that we would all keep going to grow in our marriages and to grow in our relationship with you. In your name we pray, amen.
Scott, thank you so much. That was great. And just that reminder for each one of us is that us moving towards a place of health and getting healthy and striving and accomplishing the things that we are designed to accomplish is just one step of faithfulness after another. It is our job to be faithful what God's calling us to do, and then we trust the results to Him. And one of the things I think that's really important for all of us to realize is that as we are seeing other people and hearing other stories, we don't know what they've been through and we don't know what they're going through right now. And just that reminder that there was so much underneath the ground as we look at their story. One of the couples that I think about of just a couple that is extremely faithful and being used by God to do mighty things for His name is Raul and Susan. And if y'all are here for the first time, you're going to get to hear their story. And for those who've come through, you've heard their story. And they'll be the first to tell you that when they showed up in 2009, their life was a mess. And one of the things you may not hear is that they worked on their marriage, you know, coming through re-engage and working on their marriage afterwards for over a year. And then even after they felt like they were at a healthy place, half the story wasn't out yet. And they still had some more work to do. And here's the reality is that for Raul and Susan and Ryan and Callie and Scott and Kristen and every single one of the leaders in here, there were years of work and there's still years of work and we're not finished. We're kind of on this journey of continuing to pursuing health alongside you guys. And so our encouragement to you is that there is hope no matter where you are, whether you're at a zero and getting ready to call it quits, or you're like, hey, we're a six or seven and wanting to grow, there's hope for you. But it is a lifelong daily grind of being faithful to God, being faithful to what you're called to do, and then just trust that He can and will show up in amazing ways. And the results might not always be the number on the scale that you're looking for or the number in your marriage being changed that you're looking for. And you just continue to be faithful and die a faithful man, die a faithful woman, and you will be blessed. Guys, thank you so much for coming here. Scott, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. It's a joy to have y'all. And if you are here for the first time, we just want to say thank you for trusting us with your Wednesday nights, or really thank you for trusting someone else who just said, why don't you come and try out this thing called Re-Engage? In a few minutes, people are going to be heading a bunch of different directions. And so if you are here for the first time, I'd love for you to come down here to my right, your left, and to meet Raul and Susan Cox as they share with you what to expect in this journey called Re-Engage. And if you've come to newcomers and are not in a closed group yet, you're going to head out these doors, take a right, take another right, go to the tower. It's across the little sky bridge. And this slide's wrong, but there are four open group rooms. So room 208, 210, 211, and 212. Just jump into any one of those four rooms and you will be well loved. And if Spanish is your native language, you can go to room 207 if you would like. And then also, there's one more slide on there, Jenny, is that on July 4th, that lands on a Wednesday this year, and so we want to start announcing this, that we will not have Re-Engage on July 4th, and so just be mindful of that, and we'll announce it in the future as well, but want to put that in front of y'all. Hey, well, we love you, and we're so glad that you're here, and we hope you have a great night pursuing oneness.